John, we're going to head to Mexico City, where there's some big news coming out of the 17th International AIDS Conference. And this is where 23,000 of the world's most preeminent researchers, activists, health and development experts have gathered. And that includes Dr. Ernest Darko, who's at the forefront of what has been called the most important public health experiment on the African continent today. And of course, Africa has the world's, as a continent, has the world's highest AIDS rates. Dr. Ernest Darko, welcome.
Thank you, Adora.
Now, there's been some interesting reports, the CDC noting that the estimates of HIV incidences here in the United States has been off 40% for more than a decade. There's been talk about strategies for prevention of HIV all over the world and new ways to prescribe antiviral drugs. With all your experience, what have you been most impressed by so far at this conference?
Well, I think first and foremost, I've been most impressed by the concerted resolve that's being expressed from across so many different sectors that I think previously were somewhat fragmented. But in this conference, I think we see everybody finally coming together and saying enough is enough, and we really have to go move forward as a united front and make a difference. Excitingly, also, I think at this conference, I think as we've all heard, the President Bush has reauthorized PEPFAR, which is the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, for the amount close to $50 billion, which is more than a tripling of the amount of finances being made available to tackle HIV globally from the U.S., making it like the single largest country single country to the world program in the history of humanity.
You know, we should note, Doctor. I mean, down there in Mexico City, President Bush is actually something of a popular figure, unlike a lot of other places in the world, right?
Absolutely, and I think with PEPFAR, it has always been, I think, a signature, positive program of the United States.
Let's talk about what can be done with that money. Your program and some of the programs that you've put together in Botswana, for example, have been heralded for many successes there. How have you set up that program, and what do you attribute those successes so far to?
Botswana, I think, is an example of what we can do with these resources. With really good leadership, the country was able to roll out treatment with the triple combination of antiretroviral drugs. And in under 5 years, they're essentially treating everybody who needs treatment and have more or less stopped death from HIV.
In five years?
In a very short time. Yes, in about 5 years. So it can be done. You can really turn the tide quite quickly.
And give us examples of issues you've come across as you address this issue all over the continent, facing individuals that are truly obstacles to public awareness about prevention and about treating HIV.
Interestingly, I mean, despite being 25 years into this epidemic and knowing the devastation, still you have a situation where 75 to 90% of people do not know their HIV status. So that makes it still, we're basically fighting an invisible enemy. We still see people taking huge risks despite knowing information. There's a gentleman I know who lives in South Africa. We have a very high prevalence rate, and he's married and still has 17 girlfriends. Yeah. So this is somebody who has information and doesn't necessarily use condoms with these 17 girlfriends. So it makes you wonder, how do you get prevention right? Because clearly there's other issues at play of a deep social and cultural nature we need to understand better.
And how do you address some of those cultural elements, if you'd give us a couple of more examples, and how do you confront them?
I think it's really going levels deeper than we have currently gone in trying to understand the psychology, the anthropology, maybe even, underpinnings behind why people will put themselves at risk. I'll give an example. Early on, we got so many messages wrong, for example. Early messaging around condom, for example, said that you should use condoms all the time, in particular if it's not your regular partner. And we actually had a situation in Botswana with university students where, for once, we heard the guys complaining that their girlfriends wanted them to take off the condoms. And it was because of this message. Using a condom meant I wasn't your regular girlfriend. So they want you to take it off to prove that I'm the regular girlfriend, so you should use condoms with other people you might be having an affair with. So, you know, we really have to delve deeper, understand the deeper psychology, and start getting the messages right and come up with effective programs that actually work.
You know, it's interesting. The theme of this conference, it sounds like, Doctor, is not so much a lot of specific edicts on you must do this, you must do that. It's a lot of sharing of notes in various different locales of what's worked and what hasn't.
Absolutely, and that's what I think makes this conference different than in the past, that we don't have the same tension between treatment or prevention and the different camps fighting about that anymore. It's really everyone coming together saying, let's try to figure out what really works, because as you may have heard already in the news, we've had more people infected than we got on treatment last year.
Hmm.
We had 2.7 million people infected, and we put 1 million people on treatment. And that's the equivalent of really trying to mop the floor but not turn off the tap and then wonder why the floor is staying wet.
Why it's still wet.
There's the takeaway.
We're going to have to leave it there. Dr. Ernest Darko, it's been a great pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Ernest Darko, public health doctor and country director of Broadreach Healthcare, attending the AIDS conference in Mexico City. It was fascinating.